Joseph, most just, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Faith, as I've said many a time before from this pulpit, is that virtue by which we believe those things which we cannot see with our bodily eyes. And this Paschal season, it seems that it revolves around this virtue. It is as if Holy Mother Church wants us during this season in an especial manner to live the life of faith. You notice that all of the Easter season revolves around the greatest miracle that our Lord had ever worked, that of the resurrection of his own body from the grave. It is the proof that he is God. It is the proof that our faith is the true one. As St. Paul said, if Christ did not rise from the dead, then your faith is in vain. But because he did rise from the dead, our faith, and our faith alone, is the one true faith established by Almighty God. And the passages, furthermore, which the Church has chosen from the Scriptures for Easter week and the Sundays following throughout this season, tell us how most of our Lord's followers failed to see. They failed to recognize our Lord until he had shown them. He had given his word. It is I. And isn't that really what our faith is based on? The word of God. Not the senses, not experience, as the Novus Ordo will have us believe. Not feeling, but the word of God Almighty. The word of God who has revealed himself. We think of, first of all, the epistle read on Easter Monday, the disciples of Emmaus. Remember that scene in the gospel? It's one of the most beautiful ones the whole year long. They had been witness to our Lord's passion. They had seen all the events of Good Friday, and they had expected him on the third day to rise. But so they thought, nothing happened. And so they decided to walk to another town, to Capernaum, I believe it was, which was, I just learned this, a sort of resort town where people would go for vacations and such. And so they, almost as if to relax after all the events of Good Friday, were walking down the road to Capernaum. And they met our Lord, and they spoke with him and he with them. And it says that their hearts burned within them as they heard the words of our Lord. And yet, they did not know that it was he. They continued walking, and they invited our Lord to stay with them in their home. And then they sat down to table. There was the breaking of the bread. And at that instant, our Lord opened their eyes, and they recognized that he was the Messiah. He had truly risen from the dead. Then we think of Mary Magdalene, also one of the most beautiful gospels of the whole year. She had seen the crucifixion of her friend, of her God, of her love, and she was sad now. And she went to the garden to anoint our Lord's body, an act of charity to the dead. And when she went, she saw that the tomb was empty. And she wept bitterly, tears of sorrow. And a man came and said, "What are you doing here? Who are you seeking?" And Mary Magdalene answered, "They have taken him. If only you tell me where you have taken him, I will go and get his body." And all the time weeping, she did not know that the man speaking was our Lord. Her eyes were closed. She did not yet see. But then our Lord said so tenderly, "Mary." And that was enough. Her eyes were open. She recognized the voice of our Lord, and she fell down at his feet. Her faith was strengthened. But then we come to that poor doubter, St. Thomas the Apostle. He had heard all of the apostles He had heard Magdalene. He had heard all of the disciples who had seen the risen Christ, and yet St. Thomas would not believe. "I will not believe," he said, "until I place my finger in his hands and my hand in his side. I won't believe." He was the modern skeptic. And so our Lord, in his mercy, came to show him that it was he, to strengthen his faith. And it says they were, all the apostles were in the cenacle. The doors being shut, they made it a point to say that, because our Lord would then walk through the door to show, to prove to his apostles that his body was a glorified one, that he had truly risen from the dead. So the doors being shut, he entered in, and there he came immediately to Thomas. He says, "Thomas, poor Thomas, place your finger here in my wound. Put your hand in my side." And St. Thomas did just that. And falling on his knees, he says, as we do, as the priest raises the Holy Eucharist, "My Lord and my God." His eyes were opened. And our Lord, as if to rebuke St. Thomas gently, says, "Thomas, you believe because you have seen. But blessed are they who believe without having seen." That is the definition of faith, to believe without having seen. And this brings us to the good Saint Joseph, whom we're honoring today by this Holy Mass. The sacred scriptures call Joseph a just man. It's in the Gospel of Saint Matthew. And later on, the scriptures tell us that what? The just man, Saint Joseph, the just man liveth by faith. It can be said and easily proven that no creature after our Blessed Lady herself has lived as much by the virtue of faith as did Saint Joseph. When you stop and think of it, our Lord's, Saint Joseph's life revolved around one mystery after another. His whole life was centered on the mystery of the incarnation, that God would become man and yet remain God, perfect God, perfect man. And Saint Joseph lived with that mystery, face to face with this mystery of the incarnation, day in and day out. What faith was needed in his life to be able to see, when he looked down at the child in his arms, he saw with his eyes a normal little baby, perhaps crying from time to time or smiling at times as well. With his eyes, he saw only a baby. But what faith he had to look beneath the veils of that human nature and see the divinity of Christ. Or when St. Joseph took our Lord into the workshop in Nazareth and taught our Lord how to build things out of wood. What was the faith of St. Joseph to see that though he was teaching God how to build with wood, that this foster son of his was the one who created all things out of nothing? What faith was that of St. Joseph? His whole life was that of faith. And as he was forced to face these mysteries and all of these obscurities on a daily basis, he would need that faith, and a very deep faith. And his was a faith, think about this for a while, his faith was constantly strengthened by trial and tempered through anguish. Isn't that the case with all of us sometimes? Joseph, for example, was extremely perplexed by Mary's mysterious maternity, that she was expecting child, and he knew not how. He underwent again the anxiety which was connected with the poverty of Bethlehem. How anxious he must have been to find his wife lodging in Bethlehem that first Christmas night. And yet, he had faith to get him through. And during the flight into Egypt, that too, what privations he had to endure during that trip. And all of these events that I've just mentioned caused such suffering in the sensitive part of St. Joseph's soul that he needed the intervention of an angel. And this angel who would appear to him from time to time would strengthen St. Joseph and lead him into the very depths of the divine mysteries unfolding before his very eyes. All the while, St. Joseph followed the angel's commands with trust and with the confidence of a child. Think of it all in sacred scripture. An angel came when St. Joseph was perplexed about Our Lady's maternity, and he put an end to St. Joseph's trouble by telling him to take Mary as his spouse, for, as the scripture tells us, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And he believed those words, but he did not see. He believed those words, and he bowed down before that mystery of the Incarnation. And it says that Joseph obeyed immediately and took Mary as his spouse. And later on, when an angel warned him to take the child and his mother, to fly into Egypt, Saint Joseph once more obeyed instantly. It was the middle of the night, remember. There were dangers along the journey of thieves and cutthroats and all of those things. There was the poverty. Where would he get the money to buy his food? Where would he get the money to rent lodging? Where would he stay? He was being exiled into a foreign land where he knew no one, didn't know anything about the land, and yet the angel told him, go. And he got up immediately and left in the middle of the night. And then later the angel appeared again after Herod's death. And he went into Egypt and told Saint Joseph to return to Israel. Again, not a question. He just went. And again, a fourth time an angel came to him and told him to go into Galilee. And again, you see Saint Joseph obeying without any worry. Here we have four great acts of faith and of trusting obedience in the providence of God. Again, Joseph not once hesitated nor reasoned within himself a thousand different ways of reasoning why this should or should not be done. We'd all do that, I'm sure, when we're told by our priests or our parents or teachers what we are to do. We always have all of these objections. All of these, our own reasonings, why it's not a good idea to do this or that, but not Joseph. He never raised a single objection to the angel. His faith was deep, and he saw that it was God's hand guiding all of these events. Once you believe that, what more do you have to worry about? If God guides this or that event, then do it. Accept it with faith. That is to live the faith. And that's what we're after, right, as Catholics? Not just to believe, but to live what we believe. St. Joseph's life was a continual adherence to this divine plan, even in situations which were both obscure and mysterious to him. He never understood fully the mystery of the Incarnation. He never understood at first why the angel told him to do this or that, but yet he did it. Aren't our lives sort of the same? They're always filled with mystery. I'm not speaking about the mysteries so much of our faith. The Holy Eucharist, yes, we know that's a mystery and we bow down before it. He is true God and true man. We are here today before the same God with whom St. Joseph lived in Nazareth. But our lives are filled with other mysteries. Everyday mystery. Events that occur in our life that leave us feeling anxious, bitter perhaps. Perhaps circumstances in our life are very trying and we're trying to make sense of this or that situation and we just can't see it. We're blind, our eyes are shut, and we can't see anything beyond our nose. How often we have found ourselves, as it were, in the dark night of the senses, where there is no consolation, only bitterness, sadness, depression. You're left with no consolation and no rest, and there is not a friend who can help you through, so it seems. It is as if we were blind to the ways of God. But at those times, that is when you need to hold on to your faith above all. Faith is that which makes you believe when you cannot see anymore. Faith. And you must hold on to it. We need the sight of faith to give us great confidence in the infinite goodness of God. This is our faith, that not one single thing that happens, not one event, not one circumstance has ever happened in the history of the world that was not planned from all eternity by the infinite wisdom of the good God. Not one thing. And if that is true, then why is it that we complain bitterly when things go badly and we get sad? There's always going to be that inclination to it. But we can never give in if we have faith to guide us, to open our eyes and tell us, this is the hand of God at work. And all these events that are going on now in the world, within your homes, within your schools, within your own soul, all of these things are planned, and planned for a purpose, planned for a reason by the wisdom of God, planned ultimately for your salvation. If one of these things that he has planned from all eternity did not happen, it would change the whole course of the world, and it may even change the whole course of your salvation. We never stop to think of those things, do we? We need the faith of Joseph to be guided in all of these mysterious events of our life. Think of it. If there was not a war in which St. Ignatius got injured, he never would have been a saint. There never would have been the Jesuit order. There never would have been the missionaries that came to America. We think of Father de Smet, a famous Jesuit. There never would have been so many converted Indians and so many saved souls if St. Ignatius had not been injured. Look back at your life. How is it that you got here? What events took place to move you in this direction? What people did you know that directed you here? What sickness, perhaps, was it that made you first start praying and turning to Almighty God? What worry caused you to fall on your knees and adore God? All of these things that God plans are for a greater good. Let us today, then, to conclude, imitate the faith of St. Joseph. Look at all of these events as St. Joseph looked at them, that it is the hand of God guiding all things. And let us, with St. Joseph, not only believe it, but live it, and endure all of these things with a peaceful mind, a peaceful soul, knowing that if you accept it, you are pleasing God. And by these events and circumstances, he is gently moving you on heavenward. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.